Sound roll 15.
What was that, Mommy?
I said you got to put 40 years in 2 minutes.
Yeah, right.
Rolling.
All right.
108 head.
All right, so I guess that's a line that I don't know anything about. But anyhow, he said, we worked pretty good this week, didn't we? I said, yeah. He says, we made a good team, didn't we? I said, yeah. I enjoyed myself very much all week long. And he says, I think we ought to make it permanent. Don't you think so? And I said, what do you mean? He says, I think we ought to be married. And I said, being 17 years old and not having any experience, I gave him the stock answer. I said, isn't this awful sudden? Then I told him I'd have to wait a while. He wanted to know how long I'd have to wait. And I said, well, some people wait for years. He said, well, I'll give you 3 days. And in 3 days after that, we were married.
What'd you think of that, Bob?
I'd been used to being on the circus and they had to... I'd get the ants in a hurry because it's moving every day. I fiddle around 3 or 4 days and be off, you know.
Can we just get you to put your arm around Bob and just talk about the nickname,
Bob's nickname, Jake, and what
that comes from?
Yeah, in most of the towns where we worked, they called him Jake because he wore a black face, but now that ain't no black face there, but boy, he was the cutest black face that ever was. He really was. Him and my dad, I guess, were the two best outside of Greasy Medlin. That Greasy's wonderful. He really is.
He had both Bronco West, too.
Well, Bronco, too, of course.
Where does the name Jake come from?
Jake is actually the character that everybody loves so much in the old after pieces, like 3 o'clock train, Over the River Charlie, and Pete in the Well, and all of the old time Crazy House, Doctor Shop. And after...
How does he look?
Well, he was blacked up. He had a black face with a big white mouth and white around his eyes, and he had a funny hat on. Always, he was just a town character, sort of, and he changed over in later years. From the 40s on, he became Toby, the red-headed country bumpkin. And
Can we just have you, just very briefly, just once again, put your arm around Bob?
Yeah, and just, very briefly? No, I've been doing this for almost 50 years. It'll be 50 years next year. It's no problem. You want me to kiss him?
Just start off by saying that you met him on the Med Show.
I sure did. We met on the Med Show, and those were the happiest days of our lives, really. I heard Roy Acuff say that. And he was telling it like it was, because really that was the greatest part of our lives, I think, don't you?
Yeah.
It really was, honest and truly. I don't have to say it, I really mean it.
You know, you said that we met on a Med Show when his truck was coming over the hillside?
Yeah, the first time I was jumping up and down looking at this truck coming over the hillside with the words "Free Show Tonight" on the side of it, and I said, holy cow, here comes the medicine show. And when he pulled out of there, about 10 days later, we were married.
Great. That was perfect.
Okay.
Okay, Steve. We need to get a picture of you in front of that. I'll step aside just for a second.
Okay. 109 head.
About getting started in the medicine show business. Well, my dad was in the show business before he was married, and of course he tried a little circus business. He was a clown on a circus one time, a wagon show, and then a railroad show, and then eventually got into the medicine show. But I was talking about an incident that happened back with these T models. The emergency brake usually was not very good on most of the vehicles we had, or anybody else's T model, I don't suppose. But one day, my dad was going into Galax, Virginia. We were showing a smaller town, and we couldn't buy enough of bread. There were little country places where we were at showing. The stores didn't have as much bread as we needed. We had a good-sized cookhouse and fed everybody. So Dad and Mother were going in, and they had a T model truck car with just a flat bed, no top, and something like a box over the gas tank there at the seat. And just as he got to the top of the hill and started to go down into the town, something clicked, and it was the shared the pin, the keyway in the pinion gear in the rear end. And with no emergency brake.
Hold out. Hold on for 1 second.
110 head.
And as he approached the top of the hill, you know how you'll do sometimes, you'll let off on the gas and then touch the gas again. Well, there was a click, and it sheared the keyway in the pinion in the rear end. In other words, that done away with all the gear and no brake. He didn't have anything, just freewheeling. And so immediately my dad seemed to realize what was going on, and so he told my mother to jump. But it was just an open flat bed. And so my mother just up and jumped off on the side of the road, on the shoulder of the road. And of course she tumbled and she got bruised up right much. Well, then this thing started picking up speed, getting faster and faster, faster and faster. And right ahead of him was a gasoline truck. Well, this T-model car was low enough to just about go into there and shear the windshield off, you know. So it was getting faster and faster. So he pulled over and he was going to go around him on the proper side. And look, there was a car coming. So he come back the other way to go by him on the other side. And there was a man coming up the road on the shoulder of the road with a bucket of water in each hand. My dad hollered, stood up and hollered over the windshield, "Get out of the way, get out of the way, I can't stop this thing." And he just dropped his mouth open and was staring, just startled. He stood there until Daddy got almost to him, and he just turned the buckets of water loose and fell and rolled out of the way. He ran over and crushed the buckets and went on down, and as he got to the top of the bottom of the hill, he was in the middle of town. And so it got slower and slower and slower and going uphill on the other side. And then he thought, well, if I just had something to put under the wheel. And he jumped off and he was looking all around. There wasn't a thing in the world to be seen to put under the wheel to stop it. And so when it started going back the other way. So he grabbed hold of the fender, trying to hold it, and it started dragging his feet. And finally he saw he was licked. He couldn't do a thing with it. So he just turned it loose and let it go. And it was, the wheels cut a little bit in the time of it. And it was started in a semicircle, headed for a plate glass window of a drugstore. And it was enough of momentum, it would have went right on the inside. But about that time, a traveling salesman calling on the drugstore drove up in front of the drugstore and stopped, and had just stepped out, and wham, the crash. My dad's T-model backed into this traveling salesman's car. And of course, that was a lot easier to pay for that than it was a plate glass window. At that time, fenders were not very much. I remember when I started driving,
we're just going to have you tell about all the nicknames that you've had and how you got them.
Well, when my hair was real long and thick, about 18 inches below my shoulders, it was real curly. First started calling me Curly Head. Then the next time I had $5,000 worth of diamonds in my teeth and they named me Diamond Tooth Mary. And the third time, they looked for me. If things didn't go right with me, I'd walk off and go about my business and name me Walking Mary. Most everybody called me Diamond Tooth Walking Mary. That's the nicknames I had. But I changed all of that. I didn't like that name. So after I got married, I just called Smith, McLean Smith.
Can you go tell me again why Diamond Tooth Mary?
Well, because I had $5,000 diamonds at the time in my mouth. And that's why they named me that.
What happened to them?
I had them all taken out if I got sick. Had them all removed.
Where were they?
In the top.
Where? Can you show us?
No, they ain't got none now. That's a plate. I polished a plate. Because it was against my health. So I had to take them out.
I see. Tell us more about Walking Mary. Can you tell us if there was any music connected to that? Or?
No. I just... just walked a lot, and just whenever I want to go, I just walk. If I hear of a show being some elsewhere, if I didn't have to run, I'd walk on to it. And I just walk with them. I take those go, I just walk. And so they just named me Walking Mary. And so I was singing blues one night, and the man said, well, we're going to name her Walking Mary. Walking Mary going to sing the Walking Blues, and that's where I got it from. And from that on up until I retired, they called me Walking Mary. So the other name just faded away.
Can you just hum it to the just one verse of it?
The papers are selling extra. Have you heard the news? I've lost a man of love. I got those walking blues, but I try walking. Yes, my blues away. You know I'm so glad. Travel don't last always.
Okay, tell me one other question. Go through the story of what, how old you were and what it was like when you first ran away to join the shows.
Well, I ran away from home, I was 13 years old. And I went through the mountains. I went about 15 or 20 miles through the mountains. I slept in the mountains all night, ducking my brother and my father. And when I got out into Sophie, I hid up on some empty houses. And I changed my name to Mary Smith because my daddy was looking for me. And that's how I started. I'm 13 years old. And I didn't go back home anymore until I was 27. They couldn't find me because I didn't change my name. When I went back home, they didn't know me.
How about dressing up as a boy and riding freight trains?
I did. I wore boy overalls and a boy cap. And I just put a stocking cap on my head, had it right down, right tight in my head, bore it right tight in my head, and had a red handkerchief around my neck. They used to call me Little Rastus. They thought I was a boy. And I'd meet them hobos and things, and they said, we got to take care of Rastus. And I'd go to the store, back of the store, and get food out the garbage can, all that kind of stuff. And they fixed what you call a jumble-eyed stew, you know? It was good, too. And it sometimes be cold, and I'd lay between two logs, let make a fire around, and keep me warm. So in the winter, snow before, and they'd cover me up with their coats and things. That's how I made it.
Hobos would cover you?
Yeah, they would cover me up, and I wouldn't have them, and I had little money, but I had down the bottom of my shoe, because nobody knew what I had, let nobody know nothing. And I kept going, and so I see the carnival, and I eased around the back, where they throw balls, you know, where they pitch balls, and pitch to you in, and I hid behind that. So I was coming off all that early one morning, and they grabbed me, and so then they stopped me throwing balls, three balls for a quarter, and I'd pick up the balls, and that's how I started in show business.
How about the freight trains?
Well, I slept in the boxcars and laid in the straw, covered up with them, and get some stasis where I like water. I'd get on, get me some water, I'd get back on. And as soon as I get tired, I see a little town I like, I'd jump right down, I'd run around the back, and I'd slip in until I'd get somewhere where I could hide, and that's where I'd go. The next train come along, I'd catch it, I'd be going. Where I'd be going, I'd just be going. I just had that kind of nerve.
Okay, great. That was really good.
Thank you.
That's just what we needed. Thank you. That was really nice.
Girl Scouts. On your right. Backstage clear, please. You can see these girls? Okay, can we get this line back a little bit, please?
We don't need sound, John. Rolling?
Yeah.
Okay, Doc, go ahead.
No, I'm wired, but I'm not. They're not using it, of course, on this number. So,
yeah,
I'm ready to go.
It's Friday night, and we're using inaudible beepers now. Inaudible beeper Friday night.
Thank you, neighbors. That's great. The little fellow on my left plays a big flat-top guitar. He's going to take us way in the mountains where there's bars. So little Luke with his guitar, and there's a bar on the mountain. Slewfoot, let her go.
Well, it's high on the mountain, boss. What can you do? Fire crack. You better get your rifle before it's too late. And fire's got
be a few birds flying around, fellas. I don't know whether it be a jaybird, mockingbird, or bluebird. maybe a sparrow. But we'll spare you the mockingbird just a little bit. Grab
it,
a hold of that.
Could be a leather-winged bat.
It's a fact. Ladies and gentlemen, next fella here on my right here is bringing an instrument up here, which is Snuffy DeWitt Jenkins. And, of course, this is the three hired hands picking and plunking and singing for you. He's got an instrument here which is very delicate to play. And I'll tell you what it is. We call it a confound contraption. It's just plain nothing. But he has to take good care of it, and tonight is exceptional good night, so he decided to bring it on the stage to play it for you. Now, first thing, we'll tell you what it's made of. It's his mother's washboard, and he has her frying pan and fried his breakfast and eggs and so forth. He's got the old cowbell, the old cow came from the pasture with. He's got a bicycle horn, a piece of stove wood, that's it, and he got some thimbles on his fingers. And from all that comes out just plain nothing. Tune it up. It's in perfect tune. How about that?
Sounds good.
All right, watch him now, and you'll see what he's going to do with it. A little bit of Alabama Jubilee.
I hear. Thank you.
hat shop here, and I'm going to start taking pictures when I get a chance.
I put them in the cellar down there. I like to get my money now.
You put what in the cellar?
What the sign said right down there. Says,
well, what did the sign say?
It says, we take taters. That's what it said.
No, I put
them in the cellar.
No, Jake.
Yes, it was.
The sign
yes,
down
was.
There says,
there
we take photos. We take photos. P-H-O-T-O-S. That's not potatoes. We take
that was potatoes. I put it in the cellar there now, and I want
know,
my money.
I know that was potatoes that you put in the cellar, but what we're going to have to do is take a picture of, I'll take a picture of you, and then I'll make a picture that looks exactly like you, and I'll trade you.
Lady, you're trying to mess me out of my potatoes or something.
No,
yet.
No, I will take a picture of you and give it to you in exchange for the potatoes in the cellar.
You trade me.
Yeah, and it'll look just like you.
I give it to Miguel.
All right, that's
Yeah, if it looked like me, she'd like to have a picture like me.
Right, okay, I'll tell you what. Just take a chair.
Yeah, I get that for the tables in the house.
Right. Oh, wait a minute. What are you doing?
I'm taking a chair, didn't I? What you...
Take the chair and sit down.
Oh, well, now, that make a good
what
picture.
What are you doing, Jack?
Didn't you say take a chair and sit down?
I meant take the chair and sit on the chair.
Oh, you mean in the chair. That
right,
wasn't...
now you got it.
I'm going to give it to Miguel.
Okay, now sit down and let me...
You like get a picture of me.
Now let me aim the camera at you.
No, you don't. No, you don't. You aim a camera at me.
No, this is a camera. This is what makes the picture. Sit down, Jake.
Yeah, we didn't do it to go off that.
Now you just sit down and let me worry about that. It's not going to hurt you.
I ain't gonna get hurt, huh?
No, of course not. We're gonna take
You think that thing gonna look like me?
It'll look exactly like you.
He's gonna be tickled down to get
now,
a picture
Jake,
of me.
Jake, let's see you jumping around there. Now, that's good. Just sit there right there.
Yeah, hello there. Yeah.
What are you doing, Jake?
Ain't you waving at me like that?
When I do this, it means go down. When I do that, it means go up.
Oh.
And so forth, and so on.
Yeah, I ain't got to loop the loop, have I?
No, of course not. Just sit, I'll tell you what, Jake, sit there, and let's see, you see this little knot hole on the wall here?
Is that a knot hole right?
That's a knot hole. Keep your eye on the knot hole, okay?
Oh, yeah, that make a good picture. Keep an eye on the knot hole.
What are you doing?
I keep my eye right on the knot hole.
Oh, my goodness. Jake, please sit down. Let's see if we can't figure something else out.
You think the thing will look like me when
it'll
you get...
It'll look exactly like you, Jake. I promise
you. Give it to Miguel. She's going to be tickled to death. Get that.
Now, let's see. Do you see that little fly walking on that pole right there?
Yeah, is that a fly?
Yes, that's a fly.
I just get ready for that.
Right there. See the little fly?
Is that a fly? Where's he at?
Right up there.
Yeah, I see him.
All right. Keep your eye on the fly.
On the fly, huh?
Right.
Uh-oh. There you go. Can't be done.
Why?
Can't be done.
Why?
That little boy sitting right there swallowed it.
Now, Jake, just sit still long enough for me to take the picture and smile pretty.
Yeah, I'm smiling.
Yeah, that's good now. All right, now hold steady.
Oh, look, I'm shot.
Okay.
I feel a draft.
Jake, it's beautiful.
I'm shot. Yeah.
I'm half
shot. I know I'm
that
shot.
That was the camera. I just took your picture.
Yeah, I think
it
hit me
beautiful.
Too.
Beautiful. It looks exactly like you, Jake. Jake, yeah. It looks exactly like you.
No, that don't look like
that
me.
That does look like him.
No,
doesn't
it? No. I'd rather have the tater. I ain't gonna pay you, because that's all these.
No, Jake, that looks exactly like you.
That don't look like me.
Yes, it does.
Did that look like me?
Yes, it does.
No, that don't look.
Yes, it looks like you.
No!
Yes, it does.
If that looks like me, that looks like you. Yeah.
Just look at the people. Just look at the people. Well, folks, I feel a song coming on. This little song that I'm going to sing tonight is written, rotten, and rotten by me. And the title of this little song I'm going to sing is Feed Your Baby's Own Onions So You Can Find Them in the Dark. Yeah, let's see. I believe that's the right pitch. Yes, sir. You know, this is a good song if I can sing it. The last time I done this one, I didn't do it. Hit it again there. While traveling around through the country, I've stopped in some funny hotels. Some of them good, some indifferent. Some of them with rooms like cells. But the last place I stayed was a Daisy. It was so clean and so neat. But what nearly made me go crazy was when I found what they gave me to eat. Now Monday we had bread and gravy. On Tuesday, 'twas gravy and bread. Now Wednesday and Thursday, 'twas gravy on toast. Now that's only gravy and bread. So Friday, I said to the landlord, won't you please give us something instead? So Saturday morning, by the way of a change, we got gravy without any bread.
Duffy, do you think that you can handle this tune all right and play it like just like I play it?
Yeah, what is it?
I'm going to do Pop Goes the Weasel, and I'm going to see just if you could follow me on that banjo on it. You think you can?
Man, I can pick a piano on this banjo.
You can pick a piano on
yeah,
the banjo.
Yeah, I can play it anywhere you want to play.
If you do that, you're doing good. Let's go. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. Watch me out.
Oh!
as I wish I knew where Starving Sam was. That rascal is slow. I can't do a thing out here without Starving Sam. I get so nervous and shaky, I don't know what in the world to do. Sam! Sam!
Hey!
That is that rascal!
Yeah, yeah, he is.
I tell you, reason I get so nervous.
What's the matter,
and scared, I didn't go no high in the third grade in school.
Didn't go no high in the third grade?
That's right.
What in the world's wrong?
What's wrong?
Yeah.
Paul was in the fourth grade, and I didn't want to catch up with him.
Yeah, you know, Ash?
Yeah.
I didn't go no high in the third grade either.
You didn't?
No, man, no.
Why didn't you go no high in the third grade, Sam?
Well, I couldn't get up time enough in the morning to shave, so I just laid it out quick.
My goodness me. Okay, let's entertain some of these old melons.
Right on. Got that old pot hound.
Pot hound?
Yeah, that old pot hound.
I got that dog. That's a fine dog. You call him a pot hound.
That's what he is. Ain't nothing but old big pot hound.
Well, that dog has got a pedigree.
You got a who?
He's got a pedigree.
Why don't you take him to the doctor or give him something for it?
Well, I'll tell you, Sam, that's a smart dog. You could take this dog down yonder to Sims, where there's 10,000 people in. And Sim, put me in the middle and turn that dog loose and he'd find me.
He'd find you out of all them people down there in Sims?
Yes.
How in the world he'd do that?
The sense of smell, boy, the sense of smell.
Why in the world don't you fool him sometime?
How am I gonna do that?
Take a bath, you'll fool him every time. I'll tell you something else, yeah, Sam.
What is that?
This Bailey's got some fine people in the town of Bailey.
The best people in the world and the best cooks in the world, I'll tell you that.
It's just great.
You ain't a kid.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, though.
What is that?
We'll play a song here. The last time I was in Bailey, I got a brick house for playing this song.
A whole brick house?
Yeah, a whole brick house. One brick at a time.
Bye, folks.